Welcome to Rooted Agritourism. I'm Dr. Liz Fidler-Mergen, owner of Sunny Mary Meadow, a U-Pick flower farm, wedding florist, and event venue in central Minnesota. Our mission is to serve anyone rooted in agritourism, value-added agriculture, and rural entrepreneurship. The people turning ideas and raw products into thriving businesses and experiences. Let's dig in. Hello, welcome to another episode of Rooted Agritourism. I'm your host, Dr. Liz Fidler-Mergen. And if you are listening on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen, I'm really going to give you advice and tell you to head to the episode notes and click on the YouTube link because we are doing a walking and talking tour of our brand new farm store, event space, workshop, the bloom room, the pharmacy at Sunny Mary Meadow. So you can listen, go ahead, listen in the car, but then go on YouTube and watch it on there. This is our space that we began planning a little over 2 years ago. It really started with wanting to remodel our old dairy barn. We were running out of space. We needed a bigger walk-in cooler. Everything was retrofitted to just have to walk around spaces. We were carrying things. Nothing was even. We couldn't wheel things on carts. And it was just a lot of wear and tear on our bodies. My flower farm was doing somewhere between $150,000 to $200,000 in sales, but we really were not that profitable because we were spending so much on labor. We were throwing away a lot of waste. It was just not sustainable in the way that I can't keep running my business like this. Things need to change. And that included really investing in our infrastructure. So I looked at kind of remodeling that. And then I thought, okay, if we now have a store, a place that people can come and shop instead of just showing up at my house all the time or messaging me, how can we make that work? So we started with looking at remodeling the dairy barn. And then I thought, if I had a space for classes, workshops, things like that, and ultimately, what we realized once we started trying to remodel our dairy barn is that Minnesota has some laws when it comes to square footage. And it is considered a place of public accommodation when you turned a building that was used for agriculture into a place of public accommodations. And how they decide if it needs to be subject to current building code. And I'll put links to all of this stuff in my episode notes. But basically, you can't just take a regular dairy barn, change it up, and start hosting events there. If it is an occupancy for more than 100 people, it needs to meet code for place of public accommodation. And even if I said, no, I only want 80 people for showers, or 60 people, or 50 people, a 40-person venue, that doesn't work. It goes by square footage. So I believe it's 7 square feet per person. And so when we walk into my space in a little bit, you'll see it, but my space is actually 160 people accommodation, which is, you cannot fit 160 people in there. And with my dairy barn, because of the size that it was, it actually was more than 300 people. I would have had to do sprinklers. I would have had to completely redo the foundation. And it ended up being about 75% of the cost of building brand new. So we decided, okay, let's go ahead and build brand new. We started designing the space, and the event space part doubled in size once we realized that it really did not double the price once you included that square feet. I tried reaching out to a couple other area businesses. There was one wedding venue in particular I tried to reach out to see if, hey, what if, you know, we do some sort of lease and you rent it on the weekends for showers or something and use it to book more weddings and kind of work together that way. But that person wasn't interested. And then I tried just a lot of different ideas. And then I realized, you know what, I can do this. I can run an event venue, even though I never really planned on it, and that it would really fit into our business model of selling more flowers. Essentially, if you book your flowers with us, you get a discount on your bridal shower rental, or you can have your rehearsal dinner here. And so we really started designing the perfect space. And then the very first stop that I did was I went into the county and I said, okay, what am I legally allowed to do on my current property? And I am zoned agriculture already. If you go on the U of M Extension website, they really clearly lay out what agritourism is considered. And that includes weddings, farm to table dinners, things like that. So this is all covered under agriculture still. So I'm zoned properly. And then I had to apply for a conditional use permit within the county. That was a pretty lengthy process, and it had to make sure that it aligned with the county's goals, and it
absolutely did, because our county has an agricultural pillar that is trying to help people make money off of their agricultural land in ways of promoting diversification and specialty crops, including agritourism, because it boosts the local economy. My permit was unanimously passed by the Planning Commission, and then I had to go to the county board, and it ended up passing there. Definitely not without its concerns from people that, you know, stormed the podium screaming F-bombs, very upset. This isn't farming. She shouldn't be allowed to do this. If you want to have a business, do it in town, you know, whatever. Ultimately, even though we aren't necessarily going to sit down and have a conversation because I'm not going to subject myself to verbal aggression, I also know that we plan on being very respectful. It's really going to be a very nice thing for the community, and I don't think that they're wildest fears will come to fruition. So ultimately, we decided to move forward with it. Then I had to have an entire plan review by the state because it's subject to state building code. So that is what took so long. Everyone thinks that we didn't get our permit because of the county and because neighbors were mad, and that was nothing to do with it. It took about almost 6 months because we had to pay an engineer to go through it all. We had to calculate. I don't even know what all they had to calculate, but it was how much snow can the roof handle? All of those things, everything had to be handicapped up to code. Very different than what my house had to do as far as the insulation within the foundation and the footings. And all of those things had to be plan reviewed. We had to get a plumbing engineer involved to come up with a plumbing engineered plan. And all of that, the water line from the well to the building needed its own plan review. The line from the building to the septic system needed its own plan review. The downspouts from outside of the building, from the gutters, needed their own plan review. They had to submit all of the materials ahead of time. Again, that's what you go through when you are building a place of public accommodation. So it's not zoned commercial, but it's treated under the Department of Labor as a place of a public accommodation that is zoned agriculture for agritourism. So it's a little bit complicated. It is probably almost close to $200,000 worth of permits and extra fees and extra things on top of it. But now that it's built to code, and we are good to go. That's my long spiel of how this ended up coming to be. And I'll just show you on the outside real quick what this looks like. Here is our garage door that, you know, you can see a pallet of spruce tips right there that we brought in. Flowers can go in and out so easily. Our compost buckets, we plan on screwing some compost buckets to a few pallets that we can just dump out really easily, just really reduce the wear and tear on us as we continue to do this. We plan on really upping the amount of flowers that we sell to florists, and there's a high demand for that. I'll show you guys the inside in a little bit. We'll start with the bloom room, but then we'll do that. And then here is the farm store named The Pharmacy. I'm also a nurse practitioner, still work one day a week as a nurse practitioner, so that's kind of just an homage to my doctorate degree. And let's go into the bloom room. We plan on putting a little bench here, a little something something, nice little photo op when people come on in. All right, I'll sit for a few minutes and then we'll kind of walk around. My goal for this space was to ultimately sell more flowers, if I'm being honest. This is not the thing. We did not set out to be a venue, but this is the thing that sells the thing. When we have a space that is flexible for people to use, we can sell more flowers. We have been open for 8 days, and I have had 300 people come in and make wreaths. I'm not kidding. We had private events lined up, a lot of team building, a lot of corporate groups, ticketed events, private groups, and they have come in literally every day. We've had groups of 30, and then we've sold wreaths out of the farm store. But when you have a place to do it, it just makes it so much easier. They can come here, they can do a floral design activity, make a wreath, make a centerpiece, do a farm tour. There's so many different options. And then ultimately, it really is to help us sell more wedding flowers, because if you get your wedding flowers from us, you can also get a discount for your shower here. It's just way easier. They're starting to book their rehearsal dinners with us, and it's really just starting to work out really well, and I'm so excited for it. But yeah, I'll give you guys a little tour. So this is just a little sitting area, chandelier. I let my daughters pick that out. And we really wanted just a neutral space, a space that can be decorated. We have found quickly we need to put some tablecloths down, but I wanted nice tables and chairs. In some ways, it would be nice if all the tables and chairs folded up, but I don't want to set them up, take them down, put them away. This really is the space. We're not doing weddings here. We've been asked over and over again. I'm not going to say never, but I think the only way I would agree to do a wedding is if they met a pretty hefty floral minimum, and it would be a maximum of 40 guests at the most. And maybe, I'm not saying never, but it's a whole other thing if we were to do that. And I'm just not quite ready for that. We're renting it out either hourly or you can do a whole day rental. So our showers are either from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 rental for a 9:30 to 11:30 shower, or a 1:30 to 5:30 rental for a 2:30 to 4:30 shower. If you're wanting a longer shower, then you can do the afternoon one, and then you can extend it by a couple hours if you want to. And then we could probably have it start at like 2 if we needed to, but that way we can have multiple events in the same day. It helps keep the price where everyone is happy and content with it. We intentionally left this corner pretty blank. I'm not in love with how it looks right now, but we'll get there. I want like kind of a higher back love seat, but this can be a sweetheart table for a shower, you know, the bride, her mom. We can get a couple other chairs up here. We can get rid of the table. It folds up really easily. We have a podium. We have a whiteboard on wheels for a presentation. We have a projector. All of those things can just be set up here if it's corporate. We are also marketing it as a all-inclusive corporate retreat place where we will plan everything. We'll line up the caterer. We'll design a fun activity for the group. We have other vendors that we partner with. We can have music bingo. We can have chair yoga. We can do farm tours. I'm also a speaker. I can give a keynote. So we have a lot of options for that, and a lot of corporate groups are starting to inquire about getting their employees on a bus, coming on up for a day, because a lot of people are looking for things to do during the day, during the week. Employees don't want to have to get a babysitter. They don't want to do things in the evenings. They don't want to do things during the weekends. So it's those corporate daytime retreats that I think we're starting to get a lot of inquiries about. We've got the speaker set up because we were testing out the noise earlier. But one of my favorite parts, if you're from the Midwest, you'll know this. These are all outlets on separate breakers because that's the crock pot wall. So you can literally, you know, we have tables that can set up there. We can have another one behind the bar. There's four more outlets there, but it's very crock pot and potluck friendly. There's nothing in here yet, but this storage will be where we keep, we have, I think, 4 or 6 pub tables that we can set up throughout for people to stand around. We'll keep our podium in here. If we need to move some of the furniture, it's pretty heavy, so we don't want to, but like if someone's serving with a bar, we would move that table along that wall, put the benches inside there, just simply put them along the wall to kind of open up that space a little bit. Again, this space is, according to the state, it's a capacity of 160 people. I think, you know, comfortably, if someone said they had 90 people, we could make it work, maybe 100. We can definitely accommodate that, but really seated. Our goal was also, if you have a 30 person shower, I didn't want it to feel overwhelming. And that's perfect because there's a total of 9 tables. And so you could have 4 people per table. Not everyone just crams into the same tables all the time. You know, you kind of sit with your family, you sit with your group. So it doesn't feel super overwhelming if you have that smaller group. And, you know, one table can be for gifts. And if 1 or 2 tables is left empty, that's not so bad. Then we have our little serving kitchen. I decided to call it a serving kitchen, not a prep kitchen, because I want you to make your food at home. But also, per code, you can't have people cooking food here. That's a whole different inspection. So there's a lot of rules. But ultimately, we decided to call it a serving kitchen. And then, so people can bring their own potluck. And then we do have a, through the state of Minnesota, we have a consumption and display permit so people can bring their own alcohol. And what makes us really unique, so we're BYOB and potluck friendly. You can also hire a licensed caterer that has an alcohol catering permit, and they can come and do a cash bar and they can sell it. We're not selling it. With the consumption and display permit, you can't be a felon. That's how I qualified. Not a felon. So if you want to sell alcohol, an event venue can't get a license unless you're also a restaurant. in which case you would have to have a commercial grade kitchen, which is like another $100,000. But if you have a commercial grade kitchen, then people can't bring in their own food. So we're in a really unique position where there aren't a lot of places in the area that are BYOB and potluck friendly. But how I make extra money from just the event space is, hey, would you like us to decorate it? Do you want to decorate with flowers? Or again, you're buying your flowers through us, or you're doing an activity. This room, we kind of call it a little sales area. I don't know. That's just what my architect put on the blueprint. But this little area is just a really flexible add-on space. This is our wreath maker that we use. That's what's in here right now. Probably should have cleaned that before we did this video. But it's connected to our walk-in cooler. And I'll show you guys that in a little bit. But if people want to design their own flower activity, we can say, hey, for $300, we'll give you $300 worth of flowers. We'll have little jars. All your guests that want to, because it seems like not everyone wants to, can make a little bouquet, and then they will set it on the tables, and that can be your decorations for your shower, and you take them home. So it's a little activity. It's doable. They're perishable. The ones that don't get used or whatever doesn't sell or whatever, we can just put back in the cooler. This is insulated really well, but it's not connected to the cooler. So we could open that door, keep these shut. These are cooler grade doors. They're exterior doors, so it stays very cold in here. So this could be an extended part of the cooler as well. So again, we prop that door open, and then now this is part of the cooler. So it's the goal was to just really reduce waste because flowers are perishable. Additionally, this space can also be utilized by, say, an insurance company wants to host an open house, or a financial advisor, and they want to have an open house in April for their clients. And you know, you come, you do an activity, maybe there's a restaurant or something that has, you know, they're paying for drinks or something like that. You could come here, you meet with them, then you get your little voucher or whatever it might be, but you have to meet with them, but then you can go mingle, you can do a flower activity, you could go pick flowers if we do it in the summertime. There's just really a ton of flexibility for other businesses, other makers, other different artists in the area could have their type of open house here, and we just really want to be flexible with that. We definitely wanted sound paneling because it does get a little bit echoey in here. It's always going to be a learning process. Here's the bathrooms. I wanted some pops of color. I wanted, you know, just surprise. I really wanted to make the whole thing pink, but knew that people wouldn't want that. But now, for those that the flower farmers are waiting for, come see the other half of the space. Hi, Sydney. So this is the workspace. It is nowhere near set up. It is somewhat of a disaster in here, but it's going to be fantastic. So we're so excited to be able to like wash buckets, wash things in here, have some other tables. We're going to get another table exactly like this on wheels that can go along here for our floral design. Here is our big walk-in cooler. And again, we are still very much setting up. We literally could move in, and I'm more focused about selling flowers right now than I am getting this set up, even though my husband thinks I should be cleaning up and setting up first, but we need to make some money. Here's what we have going on right now. We're gonna have like four more of these racks. Every rack can be its own wedding, and they could be on wheels in there. Shout out to Coolbot. If you click on the episode notes, I have a discount code for our Coolbot cooler. But what's really great about this is there are two window ACs in here, and I sent my blueprints over to Coolbot to store it cold, and they told me exactly what I needed, exactly the size, the number. They're like, you need two ACs, but this device overrides it, and I just have it set at 41 because greens don't need to be that cold, but this device will override the air conditioner and keep it 41 degrees in here. It is very well insulated. If you go on their website, they can help you figure out exactly if you build one. A lot of people build temporary ones. They do have turnkey units done. You can turn a trailer, like an enclosed trailer, into a portable cooler. There's just a lot of options. And again, you're seeing like this is full. Like we have a lot of flowers in here, but yeah, we're really excited. And then, you know, things like we have all these little tips in these crates for when people come and make wreaths, and they can just grab their little pieces, use our commercial wreath maker and make their own wreath. And it's just really helping us honestly cut back on a lot of labor hours is the biggest thing. Oop, it pushes open. This will be much more organized in the future, but all of our tools, we each have our own drawer. We've got the whiteboard on wheels. It flips around. Here is my office. Shout out to Windex if they want to sponsor us. Those glass top tables out there were a great idea. We are just breaking down, you know, stuff that we're getting. Honestly, we're going to keep these cardboard boxes, cut them, move over the shelf just so that we can cover our tables whenever we have activities. But this space is going to be fantastic for whatever it is we're working on next. Have some samples for when brides want to see different things, because we will start branching out into a little bit more event decor and decor rentals. But we still have that old dairy barn that I talked about, the loft. It is enclosed. It is really weathertight. It is fantastic for storage. So we will still use that for storage quite a bit. And our old walk-in cooler, that's going to be for like the tulips, the peonies, all of those things. If I'm working at my desk, I can see the farm store. And this is our little farm store. Not at all set up yet. But just a lot of merch. Right now we're doing a lot of spruce tip bundles, porch pops, things that people want to make themselves. You can buy ribbon, you can buy pre-made bows. We are adding a lot of our favorite gardening tools. We have some plants. Starting next spring, once we have our flower cooler, our display cooler is going to go there. That'll be there by tomorrow. We'll put that in. But then next spring, when we have our own flowers here, that's when we're going to incorporate a lot of other local farmers and their products and sell those in here. Again, I need to hang up my doctorate degree because, you know, it should be on display somewhere by naming it the pharmacy. So that is it. That is Sunny Mary Meadows, big building, big dream. The other thing that I haven't really shared is how we're going to utilize this space within the podcast. We are hosting Flower Farmer Forum Conference here in January 2026, January 31st. Tickets are live on the website and on the SunnyMaryMeadowCoaching.com. We do plan on hosting a lot of bridal bouquet 101, teaching flower farmers how to incorporate wedding florals. We do VIP days where flower farmers can come and just have one-on-one time with us and just pick our brains, and I will help teach and mentor them, and I'm theirs for 5 hours. And you know, if you're considering trying to navigate through any of these zoning or permitting or trying to figure out your business plan or QuickBooks or sales tax or ordering or inventory or anything with growing, like, happy to help. And I just think that this space is, we have a lot of other plans for using it as more of an educational classroom, if that makes sense, in the world of agriculture and agritourism, and there's a lot to come with that. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for allowing us to take this planned break from the podcast. We had the month off while we just got settled in and got our certificate of occupancy, but now we are good to go and we are back at it, and we will see you every Monday on Rooted Agritourism.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Rooted Agritourism. If you enjoyed it, please leave a 5-star review and share it with someone who would find it helpful or inspiring. Your support helps us reach more rural entrepreneurs, dreamers, and doers just like you. You can explore all of our resources at SunnyMaryMeadowCoaching.com, where you'll find each episode in blog form along with free resources to help grow your business. You'll also find info on upcoming on-farm and virtual workshops, classes, and courses. Be sure to check out our monthly membership, Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products, where you'll get access to a full library of our original course content, plus ongoing support through monthly virtual meetups with others in the industry. Just click the link in the show notes or our bio to learn more. We'd love to have you join us. Until next time, keep growing with purpose and stay rooted.